Again, we greet you tonight in a name that is above every name. A name the Bible declares one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, even the name of Jesus the Christ. It is, again, an honor and a privilege to be with my friend and my brother. I thank God for him. Thank God for his ministry. I thank God for his friendship. And as I was telling you last night, I've learned not to use the F word too much. And that is friend. Amen. 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 I don't use the F word too much. And because I've come to find out that you call some folk friend and they'll fool you. But I'm not going to preach about that tonight. But I bless God for Pastor Carpenter, and I bless God for Lady Felisa and all that they do and all that they share. In fact, I was sharing last night, and it's so true. I get, you know, I reached out to a lot of people, and, you know, nobody really wanted to do the downtown Bible study, and he jumped right in and has been so faithful and got to the point, you know, folk don't miss me when I'm gone. And I'm almost getting jealous because, and particularly this week, I got the role, and he's going to get to teach chapter 21 of Book of Revelation. And there's all kind of shout in that. And I already know what he's going to do with it. And so I'm already just jealous. But again, we bless God. Won't you help me appropriately appreciate the angels of this house? Amen. 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 And I bless God for the voices of faith. Amen. 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 I got it right. I got it right. I have been known to call different choirs the wrong thing, but they sound so good, they sound like voices of faith. Amen, amen, amen. And as always, I am grateful tonight. I'm grateful tonight, Sister Wallace, hanging out with a brother. Amen, amen, amen. So I want to dig in to a passage of scripture found in Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 22, beginning with the first verse. Genesis 22, with the first verse, you'll find these words. After these things, God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and took his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son, he said. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar top, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by the thorns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So the Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, On the Mount of the Lord it shall be provided. it shall be provided. And I want to put a tag on this text. I want you to help me. Just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
don't trip.
It'll be all right. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about don't trip. It'll be all right. God, I bless you and I thank you for this opportunity to preach. Thank you for the songs of Zion and the prayers of faith. Now we turn to hear word from you. I have studied, but I need your strength. Have prepared, but I need your power. Willing and I want to, but only you can make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and illumine me, Spirit divine. Amen. I want to talk about don't trip. It'll be all right. You know, one of my favorite series of movies is The Matrix. It's not my absolute favorite, but I like it. It wrestles with a number of theological, philosophical issues. And if you really look at the beginning of how we learn about Neo and how Neo gets into the Matrix, it's really a very elaborate, updated baptism experience. He's given a choice. He makes a choice. He accepts his choice. And then all of a sudden, he goes through this fluid and the whole thing. It's really a baptism. Then after the baptism, he gets hooked into this machine where he quickly learns everything. And so he learns how to function in the Matrix because he gets a download. And I enjoyed watching this download because he downloaded everything. He learned how to fly, learned how to do everything. And one point he learned Kung Fu. Never will forget. It's my favorite part because they download the Kung Fu and it takes a few minutes and then all of a sudden he says, I know Kung Fu. And I just like that. I like that scene. And then I started thinking about it and I started saying, you know, I wish my life could be like that. I mean, I wish I could learn lessons just by somebody downloading it. I mean, I wish I could just, you know, get something plugged into my head and I know how to act right. You know, I know how to not get mad. You know, I know how to forgive. You know, but it doesn't just happen that way. God tends to not download things. God tends to put you in situations where you are stretched beyond what you know and can handle right now. So that when it's over, you will be able to say, not quickly, but after the process, you'll be able to say, I got power. I can shake it off. I know how to do. I know something more about God. And that's why I stopped by to remind somebody who may be in a moment of stretching. God is putting you in an uneasy place right now. And I want to stop by and remind you, don't trip. It'll be all right. That's what the text is all about. The text is tailored to teach us that God at times will put us in places. To grow us, to get us to the next level of faith. You know this story. It's the story of Abraham. It's an interesting story. This is an older Abraham now, and this is a second chance for Abraham. So God says to Abraham, he says, now I want to test you. So I want you to take your son. I've given you the son that you promised. I want you to take your son, your only son, go to the region of Moriah, and I want you to offer him at the place that I'll show you. So Abraham takes his son, and he walks with his son, takes two men with him, and they walk for 3 days. Then when he sees the mountain where he is to offer his son, he leaves the two men and says, now, me and the boy are going up there, and we will be back. Got to put a pin there because there's some shout in that. So he takes the boy and goes up on the mountain. Now, what I want to point out to you is that he puts the wood on the boy's back. And now, this is not a baby boy because he's at least strong enough to carry enough wood that he's going to be burnt on. Now, he's walking with the wood, and he's not a dumb boy either. Because as they're walking, he says, Dad, I know how this stuff goes. I see the wood. I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? So Abraham says the Lord himself will provide a sacrifice for him. So he gets up there. Somehow Abraham gets his son to lay down on his wood. And he's on his way to kill his son. Then God says, stop. Now I know. Not by what you said. Now I know. Not by how you shout on Sunday morning. Now I know that you love me and that you trust me because you were willing to give up your own son. Stop. Don't touch the boy. And then when Abraham opened up his eyes, he lifted up his eyes, the text says, and he looked over and saw a ram in the bush. So he named that place Jehovah Jireh, and which means in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. He didn't know Jehovah Jireh until he had been to the edge of his faith. No one had heard that God was Jehovah Jireh until Abraham had been stretched beyond what he could handle. But Abraham found out that even in that, he ain't have to trip because he'll be all right. Well, couple of things I want to help you, and I'm going to get out of your way. First of all, it's tailored to teach us that tests are to prove and promote. Whenever God tests you, it's to prove something in you and promote you to the next season that he has for you. First of all, what it means to prove, it is to make sure that you are what God needs you to be now. Let's see if I can make this thing plain. Well, what's he proving? What's he proving? He is proving that Abraham has grown from where he was when he first called him. Because you do remember, watch what the test is. Take your son and kill him. Now, you do remember the first time God called Abraham, he said to him, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldeans. And I want you to leave your family and go to a place that I'm going to show you. And the Bible says right after God told him to leave his family in Ur of Chaldees, the Bible says that Abraham took his wife and his nephew and went into this new land. You missed it. God said, I want you to leave your family and move on to a land that I'm going to show you. And then the Bible says, and Abraham took his wife and his nephew and set off to follow the Lord. I'm going to say it one more time. God told him, leave your family. And Abraham then took his wife and his nephew and he went on into the land. I think you just got it. Now, if I can just push it a little further, when you read about the drama in Abraham's life, every bit of the drama on the first end of Abraham's life came from the people that the Lord told him to leave alone, but he brought with him into his promised land. I'm about to hurt somebody in here because somebody in here might recognize that if you'll take your halo off and tell the truth, sometimes the most drama that you've had in your life has been with folk God told you to leave alone in the first place. So when he pulled him out of Ur of the Chaldees, he took his nephew Lot with him. And his nephew Lot is the one who got caught up in Sodom and Gomorrah, who then caused Abraham to have to go in and get him all that drama with somebody he shouldn't have never had with him. Now he has been brought down the line and God says, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to see if you've grown. I'm going to see if you've learned anything. I'm God enough to give you a second chance. Somebody ought to shout right here. The fact that he has given you another test means that even though you failed the first one, I'm going to give you another opportunity. So he says, let me see now. You couldn't leave your family the first time. Let's see if you can kill your son this time. You got quiet on me. But then not only is it to prove, not only are tests to prove, but tests are also to promote. In other words, Abraham, I know where I'm taking you. And if you can't handle this, you can't handle where we're going. Let me see if I can make this thing plain. My daughters are now of legal age. They are of legal age. My daughters are 21 and 22. So they are well into dating. In fact, when we were their age, we were pretty much clear we were going to be married. That makes me nervous. So when we were 21 and 22, we were pretty much clear it's going to be me and you. So now my daughters, and my daughters are fine. They really are. I mean, I can talk about that. They look like their mama. My daughters, they're gorgeous. And so I love my daughters. I'm excited about them. They're dating. And I try to stay out of it. Because I really do. I try to stay out of it. And so I just have a couple of basic, I mean real basic. Because at the end of the day, I ain't got to live with a person. And, you know, he ain't going to live with me. And so at the end of the day, that's your little red wagon. You got to pull it or push. And so you got to have a grandmother know what I just said. But I do have some basic expectations. Basic expectation. If I meet you, you need to be able to look me in the eye. If I shake your hand, you need to be able to shake my hand. And you need to be able to put some sentences together with syntax. You know, let the verbs agree. You know, but that's about it. That for me, that's what I need. But the big thing is, I need you to be able to look me in the eye. I need you to be able to shake my hand in a real shake, not one of them half finger shakes. You know, to shake my hand where the thumbs grip, where you know, like a man taught you how to shake a hand. And I need you to be able to look me in the eye. Now, you know, and one of my daughters, I won't throw her under the bus, said, you know, Dad, you need to understand who you are. And so you know, some people are just kind of scared of you because who you are. And I said, but you need to understand, if they can't handle shaking my hand, bro, I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to help them because you were raised by your mama. And I know what it means to be married to somebody like her. And if you ain't strong enough to be able to look me in the eye, you and your sister are going to tear any Negro apart who is scared to look me in the eye. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. So every now and then, God will give you a test on the front end that says, if you can't handle this, you sure enough can't handle where I'm about to take you. Tests are to prove and to promote. So then watch this. Tests are to stretch your faith. Because there's faith all in the text. Watch the faith. First thing that goes on is that God tells him to go and he goes. But then the next point of faith is when we see him with his son at the bottom of the mountain and he says to the young men, we're going up on the mountain. We are going to worship God. And then we will be back. Now, I don't know what's going on in Abraham's mind. But Abraham understands God has told him to offer up Isaac. But he says to the men, we are going up and we are coming back. But he understands that he's supposed to get up there and he's supposed to kill him. Now, what Abraham is processing is real faith. Because what Abraham is basically saying is that I know God promised me this son. And I know this son is a part of the promise of the future. I also know God told me to kill him. Now, I know those two things are opposites, and those two things put us in a theological conundrum, but I also know that he's God. Now, I don't know how he's going to work it out, and I don't know how he's going to reconcile the fact that I'm going to kill Isaac up there. I don't know if he's going to bid him back up and bring him back up to life. I don't know what God is going to do, but I do know that God promised me I'm going to have this boy, and I do know that God told me to kill him. So even though it's above my head, I know somehow that God is going to work this thing out. If I was a better preacher, you'd be throwing something at me, because somebody's in here right now that God has called you to trust him for something that makes absolute absolutely no sense. God has called you to believe God for a promise that he made to you, and now he's asking you to make a turn that doesn't make any sense to you. Is there anybody in here with some gray hair, no matter what color it is right now, that will tell some of these young folk that sometimes God will require you to go left when it looks like you ought to go right? He will require you to go up when you feel like going down. He will require you to go beyond what you can see. But if you just trust him, he will work that thing. Won't he work it out? Can I keep pushing? But this also does remind me that if I'm going to get there, I've got to learn how to partner with people of faith. You may be wondering where that is. It's in the text. You know, we love to think of Isaac. We love to think of Isaac as a little boy. But everything about the timing of the text would suggest that Isaac is not a little boy. Number one, he's able to carry the wood on his back. Number one, if you just look at the tracking of Abraham and if you just count the age, this would suggest that we're dealing with a pretty significant young man. So that Isaac has as much faith in this process as his daddy does. So this is not just a son who is doing what his father says, but this is also a young man who is seeing the impossibility of the situation, but trusting it anyhow.
Yes.
Because if he's old enough to carry the wood, and if he's smart enough to process what's missing, he's also strong enough to get out of there. I'm going to let you catch up. If he's strong enough to carry the wood, and if he's smart enough to process what's going on, he is also old enough and strong enough to figure out, if I'm going to save me, I better start running right now. Or if I was a better preacher, you'd hear me. But when you partner with people of faith, when you hook up with somebody who can trust God just like you trust God, that's when you can, when the Bible says one can set 1,000 to flight, but two can set 10,000 to flight. That's why I told you earlier, I don't use the F word friend just lightly anymore. If you're going to be my friend, you got to have some faith. I need some folk who believe in the impossible. I need some people who believe that God can do anything but fail. When I say hallelujah, you say hallelujah. I need somebody who's not afraid to touch and agree in the name of Jesus. I need somebody who's not afraid to lift up holy hands and believe that God is going to move right now. Am I talking to anybody in here? You got to hook up with some people of faith. I get tired of scared Christians. I ain't got enough money. Well, I got enough God. I ain't got enough stuff. I got enough God. If God be for us, who can stand against us and win? If God settles it, if God said it, and I believe it, that settles it. Wait a minute. Let's take a stop right here. Is there anybody here that can look back on your life and realize sometimes when you didn't have enough, but you trusted God, and God showed up just in time? But here it is. Your lessons are to help people and not just you. So look at what happens. Look at what happens. They go up. They place Isaac on the wood. And then Abraham's getting ready to kill him. And then God stops him. And when God stops him, he says, "Now I see." It wasn't based on what you said. It wasn't based on how many services you came to. It wasn't based on how many ministries you were in. He said, "Now that I've seen you do it, that you're willing to give up your only son, now I know your heart is in the right place. Now I can teach you something new about me."
My God.
That's when he reveals to him that he's Jehovah Jireh. Now, what the Bible says is that God says, look up. And so when he looks up, he looks over into the bush. And in the bush, he finds this ram, and that's what he offers up. Now, I want to suggest to you that the ram was not there when he came up there. And I know you want to press on that. How do you know that? Well, I want to thank you for that, because we love to call him Jehovah Jireh. If you read it, Jehovah Jireh does not just mean the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, in its fullest interpretation, means in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now, that is fundamentally different than just a blanket, the Lord will provide. Because the Lord will provide makes it sound like it just name it, claim it, yoke it, choke it, stab it, grab it. God will give you what you need. But what it says is in the mountain of the Lord, in the place of the Lord, in the place where you're supposed to be, in the place where you are faithful, in the place where God told you to go, it shall be provided. That's why I'm suggesting that until he was at the point of his faithfulness, there was no ram. But at the point of his faithfulness, that's when God provided the ram. When God saw what Abraham was willing to do, God then gave what Abraham needed. You're looking, but you're not listening. Some of you won't find out about God until you get to the place of faithfulness where you're at the end of your own self-sufficiency. So when he got to the point he was willing to do what God told him to do, then God showed him. And I stopped by to remind you that if you're looking for something great from God, you've got to do something great for God. If you're looking for God to meet you in the next season, you've got to move beyond this season's faith and trust him like never before. In the place. So you can't wait for God to always show you everything. If God said it, you got to go on and get it. If God showed it to you and said this is what he has for you, then you got to go on and run after it. Well, but there's something else that I think we need to remember. And that is, whenever God tests you, ultimately it's because God is trying to get you to be more like him. It's in the text. Watch what he does. He says, now, Abraham, what I want you to do is I want you to go up on a mountain. And I want you to take, look at the language. I want you to take your son, your only son. And I want you to sacrifice him. In other words, I want to see if who I am is in you. Now, you know, this is Genesis. And you do know that Genesis is the beginning of where we see the redemptive nature of God.
Yeah.
And so you need to understand that what God was setting up is an opportunity for Abraham to display that he is God-like. Well, because it would be just like God to take your only son and go up on a mountain and offer your son as a sacrifice. You missed it. It must have been my fault. Abraham, I'm trying to find out if you can be like me. Because if you're going to be like me, I need you to be able to take your son, your only son, go up on a mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. And if you're able to do that, then you're able to be like me. Well, what do you mean you're being like God when you offer up your son? Because a few thousand years later, when God realized that the only way we could be saved, he took his son, his only begotten son. He went up on a mountain named Calvary, and he offered up his son up on the cross. And when God gave his son on the cross,
He gave his son so that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. And so the next time you think that God is asking you to do something that's too much for you to do, the next time you think that God is asking you to have more faith than you could possibly have, you need to remember that he's only asking you to do what he's already done himself. Whenever God tells you to cut somebody loose, he's already done it for you. Whenever God tells you to trust him, he's already taken his only begotten son, put him up on a cross. He's already taken his only begotten son, put him down in a grave. He's already taken his only begotten son, paid for the sins of the world. But then early Sunday morning, God got his son up out of the grave. And that is a reminder that if you trust him, even if it costs you everything, that's only Friday. And if you hold on, God will raise you up. God will make a way out of no way in the all right. Well, I'm getting ready to leave y'all alone, but I stopped by to tell somebody, don't trip. God will take care of you. Don't trip. It's going to be all right. It's just a test. Well, before I take my seat, I used to remember when they used to have emergency broadcast testing on the television. Does anybody remember when you would sit and watch television? Then all of a sudden, the scene would go black. And then they would have fuzz on there. And then there would be a small beep. And it just said, beep. And after a while, you would listen to the beep. And then somebody would come on and just say, this has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. Had it been a real emergency, you would have been told what to do. But this was just a test. Now we'll go back to your regular scheduled programming. So I stopped by to tell somebody, before you start tripping, just say to yourself, beep, this is just a test. It's not an emergency. I'm going back to my regular scheduled program. Next time you feel like throwing in the towel, just say beep. I'm going to be all right. Next time you feel like giving up, just call your neighbor up and say beep. Next time your girlfriend calls you and sounds like she's going crazy, just say beep. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you feel like giving up, I dare you. Yes, 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 yes. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if I'm bowling down your alley tonight and you're right in the middle of a test, you're right in the middle of God saying to you something that seems so contrary. It's beyond your present faith experience. I want you to join us at the altar if I'm bowling down your alley. If you're right in the middle of it, I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. So you can use me. Give myself away. Oh, yeah. Can I give? Yeah. Oh. I'm longing your desire. Just one more time, in a loud voice, I give. Oh, yeah. God, in the name of Jesus, some of us are gathered at this altar because we feel like Abraham. Lord, you've called us to this place. You've called us to this place and you've called us to an action, to a level of faith that we've not had to display before. Lord, I understand how to believe you for the common cold, but this time it's cancer. Lord, I understand how I've had to believe you for a furlough, but now it's shut down. God, I'm trying to trust you, but it's larger. But God, I'm not going to trip. I'm going to trust you because I've got history with you. I know you're too wise to make a mistake. I know you're too just to do anything wrong. And as a matter of fact, the fact that I'm here means you have not given up on me. The fact that I'm here means you've taken care of me before. So ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder thee.